Welcome back to the Iowa Standards Eye on Iowa podcast. I'm your host, Jacob Hall. Joining us now is former Nebraska State Senator Laura Ebke. She is a senior fellow for job licensing reform with the Platt Institute for Economic Research in Nebraska. She's visiting the state capitol this week to talk with lawmakers about reforming Iowa's state licensure process for different workers. Welcome to the show. Go ahead and start out. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing.
Sure. Well, Platt Institute hired me after the first of the year, and they asked that I become a resource for states and for other state policy organizations, including the Iowans for Tax Reform, that or tax relief, that that are interested in pursuing occupational licensing. This is sort of my portfolio now is occupational licensing reform.
Yeah. Iowa, clearly, if you look at the statistics, has some issues with that.
Well, everybody has some issues. That's the crazy thing that I found as I've done more research. Iowa has issues, but Nebraska had issues, which we tried to address in my bill last year. But just about every state has some issues with occupational licensing reform. It's grown, you know. They say that back in 1960, only about 5% of the occupations out there required any kind of state licensure. Today, we're closer to 20 to 25% that require some sort of state licensure.
Wow. So in Nebraska, you already kind of hinted at it. You did some different things there. Tell us about that.
Yeah. What our bill does is it set up a framework for review. It's not getting rid of any licenses automatically, but what it says is that the legislature believes that when it's necessary to regulate, that the least intrusive, least state-involved means of regulation ought to be the preferred. So maybe not go right away to full licensure, but rather look at other ways to regulate through registration or certification. Ideally, most of the time, and with most licenses, we just let the market take care of it, and let you know, in this era of Google and Yelp and all those sorts of things, you know, let people figure out on their own who they want to go use for a particular occupation.
So, what did you see as part of the results of that legislation and that work that you did in Nebraska?
Yeah, well, what we're seeing is that a lot more things were licensed than we realized. We had over 200 licenses once we did the numbers. Things like horse massage was one of the big ones that we did in Nebraska. Who knew that you had to get a license to massage horses? But the veterinarians in Nebraska back in the day didn't like the fact that the chiropractors were going to try to massage horses. So instead what they did was they created a licensure for horse massage, which was controlled by the veterinarians. And so we actually got rid of that last year because there were no licensed horse masseuses in Nebraska. But, you know, what you find is that there's a lot of things on the books that in this day and age we really don't need.
Yeah. So other than the horse massagers, do you have other real-life examples of some areas where maybe there's a little bit too strict of licensing requirements?
Sure. A lot of things like cosmetology. Now, you know, if somebody's messing with chemicals and putting it on my head, I'd like to know that they have some sort of a baseline understanding of how that works. But do you need to have a cosmetology license and get something like 2,000 hours of training in order to braid hair? We got rid of, you know, that's one of those things that I think Iowa's working on it or has worked on it as well. But Nebraska got rid of that one a few years ago. If you're just braiding hair, you don't have to have a cosmetology license anymore. And there's a lot of those kinds of things that until you actually start looking at the licensure, or unless you have one person who is taking the initiative to be an entrepreneur and then gets into trouble with the state because they are practicing something that falls within a scope of practice of a particular license, you a lot of times don't even know that, you know, that exists, that those limitations exist.
What are some of the common pushbacks that you get from this? My thought would be that if I'm somebody who had to go through this licensing process and practice, that anybody who comes after me better have to do it too, because it takes time and it takes work. I imagine that's some some of the resistance.
That's one of the things that we've heard in terms of resistance. The other thing is, you know, kind of the health and safety aspects of it. You know, there are certain things. I mean, I would say that, you know, real low on our list of licenses to get rid of would be medical professionals, because you want to have some sort of a baseline understanding of who's operating on you and things like that. But yeah, I mean, that's one of the pushbacks that we've got from the already licensed folks. The other thing that you see a lot of times is that that the people that sit on the licensing boards have skin in the game. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, cosmetologists, a lot of times what you'll find is that the people who sit on the cosmetology boards, who determine what the standards are for licensing, actually own the cosmetology schools. And so it's to their benefit to make sure that, you know, well, Nebraska needs to have the highest standards possible, so we need to, you know, have 500 more hours than anybody else that's required. And so, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, in terms of a review, an ongoing review that the legislature does, that hopefully we will ferret some of those kinds of things out and reduce the scope of licensing in society.
How about the partisanship on the issue? Was it very bipartisan in Nebraska? Or?
In Nebraska, it was absolutely bipartisan. In Nebraska, we found that, you know, Republicans and Democrats alike were fine with it once we got, you know, once we got past a certain point, once we convinced people that we weren't trying to get rid of every license tomorrow. And what you found is that back in 2015, you know, really it's President Obama's administration that, you know, first kind of tagged this as an issue, over-licensing in the states. And President Trump has jumped in on that as well. He's got a special division within his Department of Labor that's working, you know, working on this. And so it really is a bipartisan issue. One of the things that's really interesting is the criminal justice aspect of it. Mm-hmm. And we included that as part of our bill. And I think it ought to be included. You know, if somebody's a child molester, they ought not be given a license to work in a child care center, obviously. But if they if they're out of prison, if they've done their time, and they're finished, then why should they not be able to be an electrician? You know, why should they not be able to apply to be a groundskeeper license? So we want to make sure that people have an opportunity for a second chance, so we can lessen our recidivism rates.
And that goes hand in hand with the governor's push here in Iowa to restore felons' voting rights too, then.
Yeah, I mean, theoretically it would. You know, I'm not as in tune with what's going on with the voting rights, but certainly you want to give people who have fulfilled their, you know, fulfilled their obligation to society and the criminal justice system the opportunity to pop back out and hopefully make an attempt at building a new life.
Yeah. So, the state of Iowa, is it? You know, when they say it's one of the worst states for occupational licensing for lower-income workers, I mean, is it that bad?
Well, I mean, I don't know that they're at the very bottom, that I was at the bottom, but I think that any, you know, Nebraska certainly found that we were in the bottom half, and I think Iowa's in the same position in the bottom half of states, which makes us less competitive for people. Yep. Who might move into the state. It makes us less competitive for bringing people back to small towns, tradespeople, and so forth. You got to have a license to be a welder. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing for the economy.
And when you look at the Midwest, especially the states that neighbor Iowa, I guess it's somewhat unique in that on the west side, there's some conservative states there in South Dakota and Nebraska, and then on the other side and above us, not necessarily the case. So when you mention the competition factor, that's a real thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and you know, it's not the end all, the whole answer to workforce development, but we think that occupational licensing reform and reducing that red tape for people who might want to get a job in Iowa or Nebraska is a good thing. You know, one of the things that we've especially noticed is it licensing reduces mobility. You know, if you've got a license in Illinois, in the center of Illinois, the chances that you will come to work in Iowa, if they've got a similar license, are fairly low, because your license doesn't automatically reciprocate. And so that's another thing that we have to look at is reciprocation of different licenses. If your license is good in Nebraska, you ought to be able to go across the river to Council Bluffs and practice over there as well.
Is there anything else about this issue that you want to add that I haven't already asked you about?
No, I think you hit a lot of the points.
All right. Thank you so much then for taking the time to talk with us.
Okay, thank you.